Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. And interesting as it is, first day of summer, and joining me for the first day of summer, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Feels so like it has been summer a while. Yeah,
it does
feels like it's been
bit.
Here a while.
But it's always exciting when it's official.
Yes, it is. And I hope and pray that something good is going on. You know, when I was preaching at the beginning of summer, our summer here, which, you know, most people, it starts Memorial Day, I said something that Misty had gotten our kids doing, and I've had several comments from folks that heard that message. I'll just share it with you. But asking the kids to read the Bible, we have an 11 and 9-year-old, for 20 minutes, and then spend a few minutes writing down in a journal what they read, you know, how it might apply to them, or this is something, you know, if they happen to fall into Leviticus, this doesn't apply at all, there's nothing here, and all these genealogies. But really asking them to think about what the Bible says to them, and we've asked them not to read Leviticus to start out with. But I just wanted to suggest it because it really could make a difference if you ask your kids to do that for 20 days in a row.
And you've gotten them to do that?
Yeah, how'd they react to you?
I mean, 20 minutes for a kid that age.
That's a lot.
It seems like a long time.
Impressive.
Now, long for a lot of adults.
But if you have to do that before you're able to do any screen time, then there's a motivation. Maybe do that for yourself. Maybe that should be an adult's screen time motivation is 20 minutes in the Bible. But yeah, we have a list of a few other things that they need to do before they're free to do what they want to do. But I'm telling you, it really is an amazing thing to see these kids reading and writing down and thinking about it. And so just want to throw that suggestion, not to make my wife look like a super parent,
well,
but she actually
really
is.
Good to limit the screen time early, because the older they get, then you lose the battle. But to start that, really thinking about that when they're
definitely
young, right, Alice?
Yes.
You've got the little ones, you know, and monitoring how much they spend on that.
Worst thing you can do is get them thinking that every child is entitled to maximum screen time.
Right.
And there are kids that think that. Well, another thing for you, you could spend 100 days in prayer. Not the whole day, but we have a devotional. It's called the 100-Day Devotional of 100 Days of Prayer. My mom just called. I mean, I talked to her yesterday. She said, please, let me have that, and we'll get it to you, Mom. But it's a great way to have a devotional time that focuses on prayer. It's our gift to anybody who gives a gift of any amount. We would love for you to have that. Also, you know, as you're thinking about this summer, maybe there's a book you've never read. You go online, look at the things that are available as part of the New Life resources, and you can order those from 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you order a book from us, it doesn't just, you know, benefit you getting the book, but it benefits us rather than if you buy it from another outlet there. We do have the 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness Series as our gift for joining Club New Life. You could purchase those individually also. I think they're $14.95 each. But we love it when you get all of them by becoming part of Club New Life. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right to the phone calls. We're really glad you're with us today. Hope we have some hope, help, a little bit of healing coming your way today. I mean, summer is such a great time. It can be that time you kind of force yourself to sit back, do some reflection on your life. The reflective life is the life worth living. Without a little reflection, you're often unaware you're headed that, it's going to rhyme, wrong direction. But use this summer.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Here's a verse for you. Hope you like this verse, and then I hope you'll do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." What a great thing when you see that it's your job to encourage and build up somebody else there rather than see it as kind of your gift, your spiritual gift, and ripping them to pieces. Don't do that.
Steve, as you bring that verse up, we've tried to incorporate that into our parenting. So when our young children are unkind to each other, to be able to get out of their punishment time, they need to come up with something they can say to their sibling to build them up. So we use that phrase a lot from that verse. So we're practicing.
Very good. Very, very good. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Linda. Linda happens to be calling us from Fort Worth, Texas. Glad that she is. She's online, too. Hi, Linda. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Okay, so I moved to Texas 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year after moving here, my mom passed.
Oh.
And then a month after that, my husband had a massive stroke.
Wow.
And was deemed disabled. And he's had 3 seizures since the stroke, massive seizures. Then after that, my dad got diagnosed with lung cancer. So my question is, and before I ask it, I just want to say, financially, I'm making it in Texas. Emotionally, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm all alone, and I don't know anyone here, and I'm taking care of my husband and working. So my question is, should I move back? But my problem is, my home state, where all my family is California, and it's so expensive. I'm afraid that I won't be able to make it financially there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I hear that.
What to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Linda, I wonder if there is a different option. Hearing that you're all alone and you've been in Texas for 3 years, and I'm sure so much of your time has to go to your care of your husband and to your work, but you are in such need of relationship. Is there any room to be able to build relationship, to proactively look for it and find it? I'm even thinking of caregiver support groups. A lot of hospitals have these set up, people who would understand what you're going through and be a support to you where you are and what your family's going through. What do you think about that?
When he first had the stroke, I went to a couple I went by myself. I didn't bring him at the time. He was pretty messed up then. They were all in their 80s. I'm 51. He's 55.
Sure.
I just, you know.
Yeah.
I guess, and I thought of that actually today. I thought, you know what? I need to look into that again and see if I can't find another meetup group or even if they are older, they will have advice, you know. So I do need to do that. And I joined a church, and we were going. I was serving, tithing, joined a small group. They knew what I was going through. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to ask for help, and they never offered. So I've moved on down the road, and I'm kind of looking into another church. And because I'm going to tell the pastor in a prayer request, you know, my husband had a seizure last week. I have to go to work. I'm scared. I have to leave him alone. You know, mm-hmm. I do get to work some from home, but I do also have to leave at times. His response back was, "We're praying for you." And I was like, okay, I'm going down the road. I've got to find somewhere where I can get some help.
Okay, now let me just mention this to you. I went to seminary there in Fort Worth. I know that there are some great churches there. And for you to find somebody that can really help you, you're probably going to have to go to a very large church. And you may, you know, you may not find what you're looking for at the first one, but most likely you're not going to find it at a small church that is just, you know, hanging on. Now, there are some thriving small churches, and they may have resources for you. But usually in a large church, they're large enough that they can hire somebody for special needs and things like that. And so that's what I'd be looking for, is the bigger church, not the smaller church. I would go a few Sundays, and then I would, as part of somebody that's going to that church, versus calling and saying, "I'm considering going to your church. Do you have anything for me?" It has a little different feel than, "I've been coming here. I feel like this is a great church. Now, here's my situation. Can you help me?" That you need the church family. You need the mm-hmm. church to step in here in addition to everything else.
But Linda, you know, you've had to face, so many difficult things. And it is hard. I mean, just making the move alone. I know we've had several New Life people who have made the move from California to Texas. And it's just, it's a different world, right, that you're getting accustomed to. I know it's hard to reach out and it's hard to ask. But I think you are going to have to ask more specifically. I think you're going to have to let people know, you know, because you're sharing what's going on. You're not saying, "I need help and I need help, caretaker help. Do you know of any resources? Do you know people who would be willing to serve in that way?" Because a lot of times there are people in church. There's a lot of people who go to church and are feeling a lack of purpose and would really welcome being able to serve. And they don't always know how to serve or where to serve. So you also provide a need for other people in the church. But you have to really be more specific because, unfortunately, not everybody clues in to what you're saying. Not everybody is tuned in and sensitive.
Good point. Alice, you have a thought here about how do you, I mean, plus the catastrophic loss.
Yeah.
Loss is horrible. Catastrophic loss, unbelievable. Alice, a thought here?
Well, two things that I hope encourage you, Linda. One is to consider what makes it tough for you to ask for help from people, because there are all different kinds of beliefs that can build into that and keep us stuck. We might think, "I'm supposed to be self-sufficient. That's what God wants from me." We might think that asking for help adds too much to other problems that other people have. Or maybe we fear rejection, and maybe we've been rejected in the past, so we don't want that hurt again. So your reason for struggling with asking for help is going to be a big key in unlocking this and helping you move forward. And I think to be able to put into practice what Jill is advising you, mm-hmm. one way to break that ice might be to admit to the next group that you join, "It is tough for me to ask for help.
That's a good
and
idea.
Could you as a group draw me out and ask me when I need help? Because I'm not very good at expressing it." You might also write down, what are the top three ways people could help you? Is it a meal? Is it time off? Is it a listening ear? And going to a new group equipped with that might help move forward in asking for it.
Yeah. Really good.
Linda, I also want to mention there is a ministry organization called Hope Heals. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's based in California, actually. But you might check out their website. The woman, Catherine Wolf, is a stroke victim and lives with the remnants of that. And so they've developed a ministry out of it. And she's young. And so you might relate more to her and her story.
Good idea.
All right. I'm really glad you called. And I'm just going to ask folks to pray for you. I will send you 100 days of prayer also as our gift to you. I really believe there are resources there, and I'm kind of glad you're ready to do something different and asking specifically. The big churches might just have it there. But everybody, please pray for her. This is horrible. It's difficult. It's not something that's easy for anybody. And I hope that she can feel the love and compassion from the local church that I think God intended for folks to receive from the local church. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you're struggling, we've got other folks that can help you. They'll give you some direction there. Let's go to George in Wilmington, Delaware. A Sirius XM satellite listener. Glad that you do. Hi, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Better than usual. I called you guys before about dealing with fear. It's a broad subject. I'm diagnosed as drug-induced psychotic, schizophrenic. For a while, I was a manic depressive. They got me on Haldol, which causes anxiety. And I take like 9 pills a day just for side effects, you know. But I guess I got to narrow it down and then talk to you about some specific fear. And it's ever since I was an adolescent, I've been really self-conscious, and I just have a hard time if people are around me talking about gays. It's like I'm so paranoid that they'll think I'm a gay that I start acting like one, you know. It's like, I can't explain it, you know, everywhere, and Satan gets in on it because I hallucinate, and everywhere I go is whistling, you know, like nonsensical whistling that kind of makes me angry and kind of hurts. And it started out, like, you know, 40 years ago, I was in the mental hospital, and everybody was saying, "She sucks," under their breath, you know. And I have no desire whatsoever for a man's, you know, sex with a man. You know, I had this big guy back years ago. I still haven't forgiven him, and I think that may be part of the problem. But every day he saw me, he'd call me a faggot, you know, and you're a faggot. And on my birthday, he's like, "I'll give you a break, you're bisexual," you know.
Okay, so we get it, what you're going through, and that's a really tough part of your everything that you're dealing with there and the medication you're on. You're actually aware of what you're being treated for, and that is having a hard time in what people think about you and constantly wondering what people are thinking. And then this particular area, very, very sensitive and touchy for you. Joe, what do you think? Well, what's a beginning step here for
him? I think that you have to be aware, and you are very aware, but of overthinking things. That there are thoughts that you have, and there are intrusive thoughts that you have that you don't really want. But just because you have a thought doesn't mean you become your thought. Right? Our thoughts influence us, but they're not magical, and they don't take us over. And so I think you have to be aware that I have these thoughts, and I can just let these thoughts pass through, and I don't have to claim them as me. Does that sound like something that you could do?
What's that?
George, does that sound like something you could do? To be able to see your thoughts almost sometimes as having a life of their own, that these thoughts that are unwanted will pass through your mind, but it doesn't mean that they are, you know, capturing you and that you are becoming them. That there's, you get to choose which thoughts that you want to own and which thoughts you want to let just pass on through. And to start
that's
to make that
decision. I've struggled with, you know, yeah. not thinking a thought. Mm-hmm. It's like near impossible. Once it gets in there,
right.
it's like I dwell on it and I can't.
Now, do you hear what she's saying?
It's there.
Do you hear what she's saying? That it doesn't have to own you. That when it comes, you can give it a short life.
You have to see it as a visitor, an unwanted visitor that you don't pay much attention to, right? But it's also something.
Well, how do I?
And you have
to know how to do that, really.
Right? Yeah. You have to tell yourself that just because you're thinking this doesn't mean it is you, right? The thoughts, some of your thoughts have a life of their own; they're separate from you. But it's also something, George, to run by your doctors, okay? Because part of the symptoms that you're dealing with are these intrusive thoughts.
So you have to be sure the doctors know every one of those intrusive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thought can become a buzzard that lands on your shoulder and lives there, or a mosquito that you just kind of brush away before mm-hmm. it lands. That's how you have to treat thoughts. We'll be back right after this.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And I think that just as we are talking there about thoughts, you can do the same thing with temptations, the way we were talking with George about this. You either let them land and take up residence in your brain, or you're ready to get them out of there before they can maintain a presence and create a habit or whatever. All of us have to struggle with that.
And Steve, there are a couple specific things we can do to practice that, because it is awfully tough. And this goes along, this is very biblical. Romans 12 talks about this, that we need to be transformed. And we can't do all that transformation on our own, but there are some steps that we can take to allow more grace into our thoughts. One is, we take thoughts captive by writing them down. getting it onto paper is a little step forward in moving it from our head outside of us. Mm-hmm. And the other
is the obsession.
Yes,
right?
It does. It really mm-hmm. helps with that. And the other one is something that George was bravely doing with us here on the air, which is we tell other people. We yeah. bring those fears and obsessions into the light of relationship. And that is how the supernatural grace comes in and begins to transform our mind.
All right. So, if you're struggling in that area, call us. Let us give you some help, because it really can make all the difference in the world. Maybe you're not talking on radio about it, but just for the first time talking to another human being, I think it just instantly takes the power out of so much stuff.
That's right.
Just mm-hmm. to talk about it. So, George, really glad that you called, and let me send you a copy of this 100 Days of Prayer. That's a great devotional book that I think that can guide your thinking and your healing and your recovery. Elaine, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Elaine? Welcome to New Life.
I'm great, Steve. Nice to talk to you. Club New Life member here, and I just love you guys.
Well, thank you. Thanks for supporting us in that way. Yeah.
Sure. Anyway, my question today is, I have two of my adult children are living mm-hmm. with, my daughter's living with her fiance, and my son is living with his girlfriend. And neither of these couples are, they know how, you know, how I feel about this. They were raised not to, you know, to learn not to do that. And, mm-hmm. you know, they still include me in everything, you know, come over for a cookout and bring the burgers, you know, stuff like that. And I don't want to, you know, they know, you know, that they shouldn't be doing that. But how do you deal with a situation like that where you have these adults, you know, your mm-hmm. children, living with somebody else, and they're just expecting you to feel like it's normal?
Okay. What do you think, Jill?
Well,
do
they expect you to feel like it's normal? I mean, do they know how you feel about it?
Oh, they do. I've told them. I've told all four of these people. My mm-hmm. daughter's fiance knows, and my son's girlfriend knows. And I've told, of course, my kids. I've told them, and they know how I feel.
Okay,
yes.
good. So they are clear on how you feel about it, and they've chosen to reject your value and make a different choice, right?
Correct.
Okay,
that's
so now...
While not rejecting you.
Yeah, while not rejecting you. They're saying,
yes,
we're not
yes.
sharing that value, and we're making this choice separate from you. And so now you have
that's
a choice
correct.
Of how you then engage with them. So it's not that that they have any misgivings about you thinking it's okay or colluding with them, but you have a choice about the relationship. Do you reduce the relationship down to just that specific issue and make it a hill to die on, and so you don't have relationship with them because they choose to go outside your value system? Or do you...
No.
Go ahead.
Well, I have not done that because I don't want that kind of relationship.
Exactly.
I've continued with them, you know, so... no, to me, it is not a hill to die on.
Okay,
no.
Exactly. So you pray for them. You know, when there's discussion, you can voice your opinion just as they voice theirs.
Right.
And, you know, you can let them know this isn't what you would want, but that you desire a relationship. And then you have to trust the Lord to deal with their hearts. And that's such a hard thing as a parent.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I do that. I do that. And I do trust the Lord that he's working on them. But, you know, you just want to be able to go forward and not think about it so much or not feel that it's such a burden to you, you know, even though I've prayed
yeah.
about it and I just want the best for them. And that's to me, that's they're making a choice that's really not the best for them. But
mm-mm.
that's the choice they've made, as you said.
Right.
Well,
I
would just say this. I don't think that you're validating them by still being with them. In other words, I don't think you're endorsing it or whatever. And I think a lot of people alienate their kids over something the kids have decided to do. And then once the kids have decided to do it, now there's no relationship because you've said, you know, I'm not going to be part of this. I'm not going to go to their house. I think a lot of folks wish that they hadn't broken off the relationship
mm-hmm.
and they could still go because one day
right.
there are grandkids that are going to be coming along and you want to be able to have a place in their life. I think that's...
Absolutely.
Well, and Elaine, yeah. But I think, you know, as parents of adult kids, you know, you do a lot of grieving, right? Because you had ideals and hopes for them, and now as adults, they are making different choices. And that's a hard
correct.
Thing. So you are going to think about it because it wouldn't have been your first choice. And so that's part of what you deal with and you take to others and you get support for apart from them.
Well, we'll have some more comments
on
parenthood and all that. And I'm really glad. Thank you for being part of Club New Life and a great supporter. And I'll send you 100 Days of Prayer here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. If you need some help, we are here to help you. No matter what, we're here. That's what we're here for.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Hardiman here. And before we go on, I just want to say that, you know, we said, okay, it's great that you didn't destroy the relationship over this. And I know that there are people that are listening and that they did that. You know, they had they believed in something and they didn't want to be endorsing that, and they made that decision. And you know what? If you did that, we're not saying that that was the wrong thing for you to do at that time.
No, there are times to step up, I think, and take a stand. And especially if the kids are living in your household, which obviously are living with people, so they're not in their household. But if you're also supporting them still. So there are different times where you intervene as much as you can for as long as you can. But I think there's a point where you have to see them as adults and separate some from them just as they have already done from you. And I think, right? I think mourning and motherhood go together quite often, more so than we realize, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably really true. So I didn't want to negate or put down anything that anybody has done, because there's a good chance that that was, in your situation, that was the right thing to do. We were just doing the best we could in this situation here. So Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. I want to talk
Steve.
With Larry for a little bit. Hey, Larry, and talk to us about our financial situation here, smack dab, in the beginning of summer. It feels like
That's
the middle
right.
of summer to us.
It does. But I wanted to just kind of answer the question. You know, people probably get tired of hearing somebody every day on New Life saying, "We need your help, please support us." And I'm sorry about that, but the reason that we do this is because it typically works. People respond when we ask. We just want to make the need known, and we want to do it with integrity, with respect, and just make the need known. If you have the resources, you have the ability and the willingness, then please give. I go on a little rant now and then, I mean, about new givers. I want folks to give who have never given before. Club New Life is a fabulous way to give. We got great thank you gift. We've got a video library. We add to it all the time. Our radio hosts, you, Steve, some of our network counselors, they are great videos that help you in every which way. Mm-hmm. And Jill's done them, and Alice has done them.
Right. They're a good perk.
Yeah, super, they really are.
Super good perk. But I was thinking about Linda, our first caller today, and how we were telling her that she maybe needs to ask more specifically for what she needs and put it out there. Because yeah. You can say there's a need, and people will say, well, we'll pray for you. And we love that, but you're being specific yeah. about our need. There's well, yeah. a need, and we're asking people to step up and help. Who's right. available?
And we do need you to pray for us, mm-hmm. but we also need you to support us financially. So I just wanted to put that out there to tell you that we need it because of what this ministry does. It affects life change. People's lives are forever changed. They're different. They turn around. Their trajectory is different. And you can help us keep that going. So if you mm-hmm. can make a gift, give us a call, 800-NEW-LIFE. Go online. There's a donate button on our website. Or you could write us here at Lake Forest and enclose a gift.
Yeah, we are so grateful when you support us, and we can't do it. We've never done it without you. We'll send you 100 days of prayer for a gift of any amount, and great, great thank you when you join Club New Life also. Larry does a great job of helping us to spend our money so wisely, and that is not always the case in every ministry. It is not easy to do. And a lot of folks, you know, when you go to work for a ministry, they think, well, you know, you don't have to work as hard or whatever. And we've got people doing two jobs or three jobs that are normally covered by two or three people. And so it really is. It's money well spent and invested when you help us here at New Life. All right. Let's go to – thank you, Larry. Let's go to John, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hi, John. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on? How could we help you today?
Okay. All right. So my question is, I just had a court case that just ended. It was almost 3 years of a court case and involved a it was a long time ago. It was with a it was a civil case. It was with a teacher. It was a relationship that I had with a teacher when I was a minor, and just had a really disappointing ending, and I'm just having a hard time getting over it and moving on, and so I just...
The relationship had a disappointing ending, or the court case had a disappointing ending? Which one?
Well, the court case did.
Oh, how did that end? What happened?
Well, okay. Well, basically, we went to court, and she admitted that she had to admit that she did have a sexual relationship with me for 10 years. She didn't admit that it happened when I was a minor. She just said it happened when I was 18 to 25 or something like that. And the judge believed me that it did happen when it was a minor. But the judge said to my attorney that we'd have to settle the case because that somehow they'd have to throw the case out and so forth. And, so they wanted to just settle the case for like $5,000 and, my attorney was able to get him to settle for $50,000, which we split. But it is, it's just a long process.
Okay. And obviously, so how can we help you? What's the question for us that we can help you with?
My question is, so I'm just really disappointed in obviously the outcome of how that ended. And also, you know, I guess just feeling like if there's anything else that I'm supposed to do to move forward with this and move forward with my life. And
John, you know, I'm also wondering, so it started when you were a minor. It sounds like it started when maybe you were 15. Is that...
I was 16.
16, okay. And it continued on into adulthood.
Right.
So that's a long time to be in this relationship. And I'm wondering if the fact that the relationship ended, you know, the hurt over that perhaps spilled into the court case, right? Because that's a big investment. And, you know, when we're young, we tend to invest more of our hearts. When we have... you know, a first love or, I mean, because it sounds like you were invested in this relationship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was invested in her and her family. I became, she was married at the time and we just kept it a secret, but I became best friends with her husband. She wound up having, a couple of abortions. It just got so crazy and so complicated.
All right. So we want to give you some steps to help you get beyond it, because I can see it would be disappointing. And boy, I'll tell you, I think most people that get involved in court cases end up disappointed in some way or another. So
I think it would be important to really look at, you know, because now that you're describing that, that's a lot of involvement, and it's kind of like you lost a family. And sometimes we think money's going to be a consolation, and it really isn't. And
Never.
So I think you need to look at what led you to get involved in a situation like this, where you thought that there was more there for you than really was, that some of it was an illusion, and some of it was bound to end eventually, and that, you know, where's the longing of your heart, and what has been missing that you used this family to fill that for you? I think it's a time for you to regroup and rebuild and refocus on what would be some healthier options for you to get those needs met.
And John, with what Jill is saying, it makes me wonder as well how much loneliness there might have been in your life back at the age of 16, maybe in your family growing up, that this woman and her family became maybe even your world for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense to me that you are devastated on multiple levels, the disappointment in the court case, but also the disappointment over the relationship, and that she lied about it in court after all those years together.
And we realize it wasn't just some rational decision that you made to get into the relationship. You were 16. And then, yes, you entered adulthood, but you were already kidnapped into that relationship. We realize that. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And sometimes you just can't do anything but say, okay, God, I literally can do nothing about this situation. And you let God step in there and do for you what you can't do. And you pray for acceptance, and you pray that you can forgive so that you can move on and that you're not plagued by this another 5 or 10 years. I'm really sorry for what happened. We'll take a break and come back after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Just a comment or two here. Alice, you wanted to make a comment or two.
John, I just want people to be around you, and you may need to seek them out to have good people in your life who can help move you forward, and it may take professional intervention, too, mm-hmm. to be able to grieve everything you went through and also to sift through it, to be able to figure out, why did I make those decisions I did, when I did, so how can I better protect myself moving forward from people taking advantage of me or from getting sucked back into an abusive situation? Because, unfortunately, if we've been the victim of abuse, we tend to get into more abusive relationships down the road unless we get serious intervention.
And
that helps
we
to
think that's normal.
Us. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep, we sure do. All right, final caller here. Let's go to Marie, King of Prussia, WFIL is the station. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How could we help?
Oh, good. I am a mother of a 41-year-old son and two daughters. My daughters are fine. My son has been involved in alcohol and drugs since he was a teenager, and I just am actually on the way to the hospital now because we had to have him taken in on Sunday morning because he did mess and he was acting out of control.
Oh,
and
does he live with you?
You know, yes. And
okay.
He can't hold down a job.
Has he ever had treatment before?
Oh yeah, he's been in
in and out.
He's been at least 10 rehabs. Oh. He's been in detox. That's where he is now in a hospital. But he's been in different facilities, like one I know he's been in 6 times.
Wow.
And I know I'm an enabler too, because when all these things happen to him, I'm right there for him because his father isn't. I've been divorced for years. His father's an alcoholic, and I chose to leave him because he was an abusive alcoholic, and I didn't want my children to grow up. That's a lot for DNA, doesn't it?
Have any of the treatment programs told you what you could do differently to help him and not enable him? Have they ever talked to you about that?
They have, and I've read books and everything, but when it happens to me, he knows all the words to say. He's a very eloquent speaker, and he has all the bells and whistles to push
Are you,
to get me.
Okay. Are you actively involved in Al-Anon?
No, and I need to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, so if you are doing this for him, you'll get involved in Al-Anon. If all the things you're doing are just to make you feel better, you'll stay out of Al-Anon. Do you understand what I just said, the difference there?
I know exactly. Yes, I do.
Because your husband isn't there anymore. Your son is 41. And you're not involved in the organization that has been designed to help mothers help 41-year-old drug addicts still living at home. Now, that'd be foolish not to be involved with the organization that helps more mothers who have 41-year-olds living at home and are drug addicts, right?
Right.
So there's nothing we can tell you more valuable than mm-hmm. listen to the people at the treatment center, but you must go home, look up where the next Al-Anon meeting is, go there and tell your son you're not coming to the hospital today. In fact, I wish you wouldn't go right now. I wish you'd turn around and go to an Al-Anon meeting and tell the hospital folks, I've never gone to Al-Anon very much. I'm going to Al-Anon because I'm obviously not helping my son. You help him. I'm going to go get some help for myself so that I can be helpful to him in a different way. Wouldn't that be great to do it in a different way?
It would be great. In fact, I am in the parking lot now, but the reason I had to come is he has no clothes, and they're trying to get him into a rehab, and I won't have to take him. The rehab will pick him up.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Okay.
That would be
super. So I think you can drop off the clothes, Marie, but I think you need to tell the people there that you need help.
Yeah.
That you're struggling, that it's been a revolving door of him in and out of treatment, and you realize that you're part of the problem, or at least people are telling you you're part of the problem.
And I know I am.
And so you hand the clothes over, and you say, tell me where to go. Where they'll have lists of Al-Anon meetings, or they can look one up for you.
This is great. I mean, you've called us for help here, and we want to help you. I think it's fantastic. Alice, what are you thinking?
Well, I think there are understandable reasons why we don't get involved in Al-Anon, even if we know it's what we're supposed to do. So, Marie, I want you to consider what holds you back from going, what has gotten in your way, because one of the biggest reasons can be the guilt that we feel that it might be your fault that your son is going through this or because of the husband that I picked. So you've got to consider, why haven't I been going? Finding out those reasons will help you follow through on Steve's fantastic advice that you go now, you go as soon as possible to get the support so you can make the tough decisions that will be loving your son best.
Mm-hmm. The beginning of healing for many drug addicts and alcoholics that are living at home is the parent doing what Dave Stoop talks about all the time. Mm-hmm. When you stop long enough to ask the question, am I doing this because I think it's helping my child, or am I doing it because really it's just making me feel better?
It's reducing my anxiety, and I'm hooked and organized around my child.
Yeah. So, you're able to come up with, is this a failure of the child to launch or a failure of the parent to boot? Because I'm telling you, it's painful.
Yeah,
but sometimes it is the option that changes everything when you say, okay, so you're in rehab. You're going to be there for 3 weeks. You can't come home in 3 weeks. You have to find a transition living center, or halfway house, something other than here. You can't come here. And then you have to tell the people at the treatment center, help him to see I'm not an option anymore because, it hasn't helped. Boy, that can change absolutely everything. All right? That's what we want to have happen. Well, if you're struggling in any way possible, by the way, I'll give you a Life Recovery Bible. I'll send that to you to give to him because that could be a great addition to treatment. If you're struggling with lust, pornography, affairs, a past you can't get over, Every Man's Battle is July the 6th. But if you're a couple and you're at a very, very difficult place, you don't know what to do next, you are just dead emotionally, spiritually, well, you could come and join us in Washington, D.C. on July the 20th, and it could change it, really, like nothing else, because of this intimacy intensive that we do with married couples. We've had people that hated each other find a way back into a great marriage. Come be part of that if you possibly can. You start by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it can be the beginning of everything being different in that relationship. If you support us, I'll send you 100 days of prayer, just a simple way of saying thank you. And if you join Club New Life, $30 a month is all it is, about a dollar a day. I'm really good at math. Dollar a day. You get the video library access. You get the Art of Room Wellness series. We send you something every month. It is a great way to support transformation. This is the beginning of summer. The sun is out, but the sun wants to rise in your heart and transform you through his truth. Pick up a Bible, read it this summer, get those kids reading it, and we'll see you here next time. But call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.